Blog Talk Radio.
Hey girls, and what up dudes, this is your girl Princess with another Two Feels Hurt episode. I am so excited about today's guest authors Melvin and Jatasha Thomas. I'm so excited because they've written a book called Take Me Out. Getting married is easy, but staying married is hard. A lot of you have been faced with some challenges, and for some reason people feel like they don't have to put work into love. But guess what? There's some work to put in if you want to stay together. So today I've asked them to come on the show and help me to help you with what Truth Heals Hurt. You know how we do it. Facebook, tweet, Instagram, somebody. Let them know we're about to go live. Hello, hello, everybody that's listening. I'm getting ready to open up my guest speaker's lines. As I'm doing that, I'm so excited about this show because I feel like these people are my blood, even though we don't share the same blood. We share the same heartbeat, and I just appreciate them coming on. And the reason why I had asked Melvin earlier at the end of last year about being on the show, And it was because so many people kept coming to me asking me, when are you going to do a Truth Heals show about marriage and about things that we can ask because we like it because you keep it real. So I decided to ask somebody to join me that I really enjoyed his book, but it's the part that really grabbed me in the beginning is not because he's family or because Tasha's family. It's because he made a very powerful statement on the front of the book, and that is, getting married is easy. It's really easy to put together a ceremony and somebody say some vows, but for some reason, people think that love is supposed to be something that you don't have to put work into. And so I open up my line now. I want to say hello to Melvin and Tasha. How are you all today?
We're okay. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good. I'm so excited. I appreciate you all. I want people to also buy your book. So if one of you at the before we close out will give the information on how we can support, but not just support, though, how we can get in this lesson and learn some things on how to keep marriage. Now, I already have questions, Melvin, but I'm going to just start off by letting you tell us about the book, first of all, because they already sending in questions. I think right now people are having some difficulties in their marriages, and we're just going to pray that God helps and that this show helps them on today. But tell us a little bit about the book, Melvin.
Well, the book is Take Me Out, and it's written on the perspective of taking the selfishness out of marriage. A lot of people want to blame the other person for stuff that's going on in their marriage. They never look at themselves and what they can do better to help the marriage out. And it's always, well, he did this to me, or she did this to me, or he didn't do this, or she didn't do this. It's never, what can I do better to make my marriage better?
I love it already. Already I love that. Yes. Take a look at yourself. Okay. So when taking a look at ourselves, when I first read Take Me Out, another lady asked, too, about taking me out. We're not talking about going out to eat. We're talking about remove yourself and get yourself out of the way.
Yeah, taking the
right
out and making it about us.
Right. So it's not a selfish thing. It's a direct thing. And so what are a couple of things we can start with, Melvin, to begin to look at ourselves?
But the first thing that I think is you have to understand what you bring to the marriage and what you expected when you were dating. What you gave to that person when you were dating, you should continue to give that person, because that's the person that you were when you were dating. You were trying to win that person over. You were doing everything that they wanted you to do. You everything that you did was to make them happy. But as soon as we say I do, it turns from trying to make that person happy to trying to make myself happy. And what are you going to do to make me happy instead of what I can do to make you happy?
Right. That's true.
So then I wanted to say to you and Tasha, you may hear like a slight delay because of the waves on the internet side of this, but you just keep talking. I normally will say mm-hmm, something like that. I'm not trying to cut you off. You just keep on flowing. But so with that, Mev, so we looking at ourselves, and then so how did you – what made you want to write the book? What made you and Tasha get together and want to collaborate on getting this word out?
Well, 2 years ago, we were having a few problems of our own.
Mm-hmm.
And I decided, you know, what is it that what did I do to cause these problems in our marriage? Not what she did. I can go through everything that she did to me. But I started looking at myself and I said, what did I do? And what could I have done differently to make her not want to do the things that she was doing to me? And
gotcha.
I just looked basically, the only thing I did was I just kept looking at myself and all the stuff that I did, all the stuff that I said. And then I started thinking about my life over the years and how I spent 9 years working at the courthouse, and I started
mm-hmm.
I was looking at people get divorced over and over again, thousands and thousands of people coming to get divorced, and everybody
wow.
had the same central theme. One or both people in the marriage were really selfish, whether they were
wow.
cheating, whether they wanted more money, whether they wanted something for themselves, but every time I saw somebody file for divorce, the reason that they were filing is that one or both of the people were really selfish. So then I started looking
wow.
at how people that have been married for a long time, like everybody in my family, my grandparents were married for 50-something years. Tasha's grandparents were married for 50-something years. My parents never got divorced. Her parents never got divorced. And I was looking at it, and I was like, what did they do differently? And the main thing that they did, they weren't selfish.
Yeah,
they
that's true. That's true. Mm-hmm.
And then they never thought about me. They always thought about what can I do to make my spouse happy.
Right.
That's true.
And you know what, that's very powerful too, because a lot of times, again, like you said, when we first start dating, we're focusing on trying to please the person to get them, and then once we get married, that's a very powerful statement, because that's true for a lot of the people that I talk to. The first thing they're saying was, he used to do this and he used to do that, and I'm like, well, what you used to do? What happened? You ain't the same
exactly.
neither. You know what I'm saying? Like, you ain't the same chick I remember talking to before you got married. Like, you used to have fun and everything so serious, and you could just... So, Tasha, you want to add to that?
Just piggyback on what he said. You know, grandma had been married, you know, her and granddad were married almost 60-something years, so... And mom and dad were in there, you know, they were married for almost 40 before he passed away, so it's... the word of not being selfish with their love, that was one of the things that they always, you know, rang true to me, even growing up.
Mm-hmm.
My mother did everything possible she could for granddaddy, and he did the same for her.
Yes.
So that was one situation where him and, you know, grandma and mom, their relationship were the two that I know for a fact that they were unselfish. You know, dad had his life, his preaching life. But one thing mama did, mama was always right there with him. There was no
yes.
little. You know, she was always there. There was no daddy without mama. So just watching
yeah.
that growing up, even when he was a deacon, she was always right there. We were at church every Sunday, wherever we were. That's just how we were growing up. So as women, as Melvin was saying, he wrote the book because of the things I was doing to him. And as women, I speak for myself when I say we grow differently than the way men grow, I feel. And
mm-hmm,
when
mm-hmm.
we feel like something is not the same as it was, we feel like, okay, well, let me see, you know, what's different somewhere else, or let me figure something else out. And that's what women sometimes do. But again, that's me feeling selfish about myself, me becoming selfish. You know,
right.
So
Right.
That's what I'm
saying, right, girl. I'm letting y'all preach this thing. Yeah.
Yeah. So I just feel like a lot of us women should look at ourselves a lot more than we do. You know, we try to look cute. We try to do all this, you know, do certain things for ourselves.
Yeah.
But what do we do for our husbands that are making them happy? You know, we forget that. You know, me and Melvin are married 24 years. So,
yes.
Seeing, I've been doing what we, you know, we've been doing what we can. Our kids are grown now. So, and that's strange to say that out loud, but.
I feel you. We're empty nesters now, so I don't know really what to do half of the time.
Yeah. But we just forget, you know, we forget that the man we marry, after our kids go older, who is that man we marry? So that's where, that's when you have to start looking inward and say, okay, what did I do? What am I doing? What do I need to do? So.
Yeah, and I appreciate that, too. And the reason why having you both were on the show was something very powerful to me, because there are very few people that I know. Majority of my friends, we either have one one of the parents in the house or whatever. But you two, you are examples of families that stay together and push through and, try to maintain. And with the part that I know about the two of you, I always commend you because you got married early, but you fought through obstacles and things that would have caused people to break up. And so when I heard that you wrote the book, I'm like, yes, this is a book that people need to get. You know why? Because I feel like the only way people can tell a story is that you know the story to tell. And so I just think it's very powerful. I remember when Tasha met Melvin. They probably don't remember that I was there then, but I was like, he a football player, Tasha. Girl, go, girl. And so, maybe we were talking about you. But, you know, the fascination, and that's my next question. This is coming from one of my callers, one of my listeners, actually. They say, do you have the same fascination for the person? And if you lose it, how do you get it back? Like from the beginning. So that's where I was going with, I remember Tasha meeting Melvin, or that fascination Tasha had. Like, how do we go back to that? One of y'all answer.
Well, I think the way to get back to it, I mean, it's easy for me because I actually never lost the fascination for Tasha. But
the way to get back to it
is to reconnect with that person. And you look at what happens, I think, over time, once we get used to a person, the things that we used to find cute starts to get on our nerves.
Mm-hmm. The
things that, you know, that we laughed at now makes us mad. Well, when that happens, it's really because your feelings for that person have kind of dwindled a little bit. And it's like when you have two people, two guys, that one you're interested in and one that you're not interested in, but he's interested in you. Well, the one that you're not interested in, he can say something that you might take offense to, but the one that you're interested in, if he says the same thing, you think, hey, that's the greatest thing I've ever heard. So if you look at yourself and you examine yourself and you say, okay, what did my husband or my wife do to make me start feeling this way? Or did I just start to have different interests on my own? And you have to honestly evaluate that, because there's sometimes that the other person can do something to make you feel that way, but a lot of times we just lose interest because we've gotten used to that person. And
right,
that's
true.
The way to get that back is to start doing things with that person that you haven't done before. Start experiencing new experiences with that person. Go to places that you haven't gone to before. I mean, to be honest, if you're married, try having sex in different places that you haven't had before. You know, just stop.
Get to the thrill. That's it. Yes.
You got to break the routine that you've gotten used to, and that person will become new to you once you do that.
Wow. So I hope y'all taking notes because we got quite a few callers on this line. I forgot to give instructions. If you have questions and you on the line, you can press 1 to ask the questions that I have yourself. If you're on my Facebook, which I thank you guys. Some of you are posting now. Your questions are just letting me know you're on here, so I thank you all. The one says she's afraid to press 1. Now, you know what I like about this show? I have some single people listening on the show, and I think the best way to learn how to do when you get married is to learn before, like get all the lessons in that you can so that way you'll know what to do when you get in a certain situation. So I truly thank my single people for listening in because that's the best way to have a better relationship once God blesses you with who it is he has for you. Melvin, I have a question. The question is, hold on, I'm sorry. Look, they're rolling. They're going fast. They're going fast. How do you get that love appeal back? And in parentheses, the person put sex, no longer interested.
Well,
Jesus.
I answered that question, but to go back to what you were saying earlier, when I started writing this book, my anticipation was to write it for people who haven't been married that long to let them avoid getting into that rut that people get into, or people that are just about to get married, to help them avoid those pitfalls. But, and when the question was, again, how do you get the attraction back when you lost your partner? Now that, I have no definite answer to that because you actually don't know the situation, but you have to actually look at yourself and what do you want? Is that person still giving you what you want, and are you still giving that person what you used to give them? And it's a lot. There's one chapter in the book that deals with that, and it's, you know, you have to do the same thing to keep them as you did to give them. And
okay, now I want them to buy the book, so don't give us all of it. I want them to buy this book, so give us a taste, you know, like the little sampler.
Yeah.
Okay.
You have to take it upon yourself. Let's say a wife, you come in from work and you had a hard day at work, your boss been getting on your nerves, and then your husband is at home. The first thing that you don't want to do is probably take it out on him, what was happening to you at work, because you can't take it out on your boss because you'll get fired. So you have to realize, okay, are you doing this? First of all, am I coming home from work yelling at my husband because of something that happened to me at work or because of something that he did? And what happens is when you come home and you yell at your husband for something that he didn't do, then first thing he's going to do is yell back. Now, y'all going to be in a big argument over something that he didn't even have anything to do with.
Right, that's true. And a lot of people do that, man. A lot of people take stuff out on, take stuff out on the person that's closest to them because you can't,
I think that's because if you're the closest thing I have to me, I need to get this off my chest for you to understand this is the kind of day I had, and I want to see if you can make it better. If I come to you and I say, I've had a hard day at work, I'm looking for you to either embrace me and not fight back with me because you know you haven't done anything wrong. So if I come in just I'm complaining about my day, I'm not complaining about, you know, you leaving something on the floor or, you know. So it's understanding actually what your spouse or your mate is needing at that time. A lot of us don't understand that.
Yeah, because see, sometimes when we vent, we just want somebody to listen. And then what I've learned to do for me is I say, baby, I don't want you to do nothing. I just need you to listen. Then that way I've set the tone for what I'm about to say. Because husbands are protectors, and we keep wanting them to play themselves down like God designed them to protect us. So for a lot of women that I've been talking to, they have that problem. You start telling him something, then you don't expect for him to want to protect you, but then you get mad because he ain't responding like you want him to respond.
Right.
And then
right.
It's a big old argument, yeah. So then you got to learn. Yes, you got to learn. Give the exact thing that you want. You know, it's not going to hurt you to tell the person what you need or what you want. Because people can't read minds. I don't care how long you've been together. I don't really feel like.
Every day
hold on, y'all. My husband is talking to me while I'm on the show.
So the question, I don't know if Melvin answered about the attraction and how do you get that attraction back, i.e. sex, is what the question was, correct?
Yeah, they wanted to know how you get that. They don't really want to. They put in parentheses sex, so I'm assuming they're having issues with the wanting to have sex. They said not interested, which ain't good.
Well, I actually
deal with. Remember saying yeah.
And because I mean, honestly, you know, Tasha went through a phase where she didn't want to have sex with me at one point. So I actually deal with it.
Right. I mean, every person has their, you know, their feeling, again, going back to what we were talking about earlier. Everybody has their certain feelings, coming out of those feelings and going back in them and how you get them back. I think it's alienating everybody else from your life and just focusing on that person.
If you're trying to get
that person and figure out what you need to do, if you still want that person, you got to stop everything else around you and become that person, you know, that mate and deal with that. After a while, if you want to be, you know, back, you know, get back with them, you will. If you don't, you move on. It's kind of that simple to me. So
yeah, because see, what I found, most of the people that's talking to me, they have like hidden agendas. So like when they're forcing their opinion about their husband, see, I'm a keep it real type person. So when they're talking to me about their husband, I'd be like, look here, is somebody else smiling at you, grinning at you, saying stuff? Because I ain't got time. You know what I'm saying? I don't have time. You really want to work on your marriage, then let's talk about that. If you have started already trying to climb the fence and break out the yard, then let's talk about that. Let's address. Yeah, let's address your real problem because marriages can be fixed. But when you start bringing outside sources, all kind of foolishness into the marriage, then I feel like you are now, there's a different type of competition or a different realm of things going on. Okay, I got some more questions, so I'm going to move on to the next question. Go ahead.
No, you go ahead. You're fine.
I thought you was saying something. This person, now this next question is foolish. I'm going to just tell y'all now. Y'all know how I do it on this show. This is foolish. So from me summing this up, this person is saying that she met her husband in the club. He no longer wants to go to the club anymore. He's become very boring and not interested in the things that she did when she met. I'm going to let y'all deal with that, because that right there going to make me real mad, because
why did you get married? I mean,
oh, come out.
Once you get married, all that stuff is supposed to fade away because you're not searching for, you shouldn't be searching for anything anymore. You're supposed to have found the person that you wanted to be with. And if he don't want to go to the club with you, then you should want to do some things with just you and him. If the way I always is, if I don't want to spend time alone with you, I don't really like you. I mean,
that's what I'm saying. So we got to, okay. Look, this is what's crazy. Some of these people start wanting to do right. You know what I'm saying? Like not do certain things anymore that they used to do. Like you might have attracted somebody that used to drink all the time, and then they get with you and they see a better life and they want to do something different. Do you just want them to keep drinking themselves to death? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. That's
like people want to change. People want to grow. Yeah.
That's an inward issue of the person because something's going on that that you're not, they're fighting themselves against something. Something else is going on besides that. Why are you still wanting to go out? What's the point?
That's what I'm talking about. Because when you went out, you probably looked for people. So what is that about? We're going to have to address the real issues, like we said. Okay, I have a question from Ireland. Ireland said, does it all boil down to both parties really having the desire to be married to each other?
Yes.
Yes.
That's a simple answer. Yes.
Yes.
It does.
You have to want to be married and stay together.
Yeah, because, look, this already ain't no joke. Marriage ain't no joke. So you can't be going in a plan, and he cute,
right,
and so we just going to be married because you cute and I'm cute, and we look like a cute couple. This, you got to work. You got to
right.
put in some work. Now, I have another question from another friend. She said, I just accomplished getting my master's. My husband doesn't want to do anything with his life other than go to work every day and stay focused on nothing. I have gotten my master's now, and I seek further growth. I'm trying to read between stuff, scanning through. She said, now I feel like we're not on the same page. She doesn't support me in the things that I'm trying to do, and he feels like I'm trying to make him be something that he is not.
Okay.
So what is it that she wants him to do differently? Because it seems like to me, what she's saying is he's not good enough for her anymore because she has a
master's.
See,
that what I'm talking about. Yeah. And that don't count as nothing. That don't,
right.
When in the marriage, you should support the person. Everybody don't want to go back to college. Everybody don't want to.
Right.
Yeah. Mm.
And if that was her goal, you know, we all have goals in life. And if that was her goal,
yes,
to get her master's, kudos to her. Praise God for her for doing her job, doing what she wanted to do. But don't get upset with
mm-hmm.
him because he's not doing something that she wants him to do. That's her.
Right, and then I wouldn't want, yeah.
And if she got her master's while they were married, he had to support her.
Yeah.
Why she was getting it? I mean.
Yes, Melvin, that's what people don't realize. Yes.
Yeah, he's still there.
So yeah.
He's actually still there.
Yeah, look, y'all, me and Reggie got two different lives. Like, I'm very foolish. My husband is silly, too. But I'm very foolish. I have not changed, and I'm not going to do that because I don't want to no more. I did that already for y'all, look, for the world. I tried to become things that I was not. But my husband just got his master's and working on some more education. But Princess wants to write books. She wants to do these radio shows. She wants God to bless her in the gift he gave her. And so I really would be sad and broken if Reggie come in here talking about, because I don't receive my master's, you're not on the same level. Because my level of what God has for me is something totally different. And then we both are accomplishing great things.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So
right.
People
yeah.
need to start trying to change folks. Yeah.
And I deal with that in a chapter too, because you have to know what your spouse, what their real personality is. You have to look at them closely enough to know who they really are and allow them to be who they really are. And if you don't really like who they really are, then that's on you. Because that's the person that you married. They didn't,
right.
They may not have changed. You married that person supposedly because you loved them, for the person that they were. Now, if they
right.
did something, they showed you something totally different after you got married, that's not on you, all right? If they sold you,
mm-hmm.
they did the bait and switch on you. That's not
right.
on you. But if they are that person, that same person that you supposedly fell in love with, and now you want them to be somebody different, that's on you, not on them.
I think
our success is success, the word, is, you know, made two different ways by different people. It is made different ways by different people. Her success is she got her master's, she's moved on and gotten what she wanted. I think his success is I'm making money every day, I got a job, I'm going to work. That's his success. So you have to understand what your success is might not be the same success as his.
And then, look, when you done been through a lot, like some of y'all really just need to do a check. But when you done Y'all hold on 1 second. They told me it was already 30 minutes, but they're extending the show. Hold on 1 second. Y'all give me a second. She might make some noise for a second. I told y'all this go by fast. I told y'all. Okay, is everybody still there?
Yeah, we're here.
Okay, so what I was going to say was, I lost my train of thought trying to count this thing, y'all. So it'll come back to me. The one.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. And what I was gonna was talking about a little bit earlier, because in this question I see where she feels like she has arrived at something. And I was saying, when you have gone through some things, like I didn't have the I met somebody in high school story. I didn't, you know, or I met somebody right out of high school story. I didn't have that story. So I went through different relationships before I got to the man of God that I have now. But for me, when you've been through some stuff, you appreciate the fact that the doggone man is at the house. Thank you, Jesus, for that. Like, he ain't out here running after nobody. He ain't. He go to work every day. My life is on, thank God. I can eat when I get ready to eat. I can, not that we're using somebody, but you got to learn how to start thanking God for the things that you no longer have to deal with, because I'm not competing against some other woman for my husband's attention anymore. You know what I'm saying? I'm not doing or going through some of these things that I used to go through. So if he go to work every day, you got your masters, praise God. Now do something with your masters, get us some more money in this house, and praise God and let us enjoy this.
Yes. The thing is, too, you never know what God is doing with you getting your master's. You may be the one being a breadwinner when your husband might not be able to work. So stop thinking selfishly. Stop thinking selfishly and think about, okay, God, you taking me somewhere for me to take care of my family in the end. This may be something that I'm about to have to take care of my family. Thank you, God, for sending me this, because if he, you know, where he is right now, thank God for him doing what he's doing.
Yes. See, we forget, I think. We forget that part. And then a lot of y'all think the grass is greener in somebody else's yard. I just here to tell y'all, you're going to be some sad grass-looking people. You're going to be over there in somebody else's grass, because one thing that Melvin said, we have to do from the beginning, if you don't take nothing else from this phone call, you got to take you out of this stuff. And see, sometimes y'all think because your husband done got older, he ain't as fine or something, he done gained some weight, he done all this. He still is a man who loves you and has grown to love you and your raggedy self for you, because we all got some raggedness in us. You know what I'm saying? So, Melvin, this question is from you, from a brother. And I ain't gonna hold y'all all night. The other question was from a girl, but this is from a brother. He has tried to support his wife and push her in things that she says she wants to do, but she always starts and quits, and it's frustrating. How do you support somebody who never does what they say?
If you love them, you will keep supporting them no matter what. And I hate to say it, but it's true. I've had the same conversation with Tasha over the years. But right now, after 23 years, she has the job that she's always said that she wanted. Mm-hmm. And I'm happy for her.
Yes, okay.
We went through the same thing, and I just kept, whatever she wanted to do, I said, okay, I'm behind you. If you finish it, fine. If you don't finish it, we'll go on to the next thing.
Okay, yeah.
I mean, and if you, whatever the next thing was, I was behind that too.
Now,
and see, a lot of times the stuff is fear. But Tasha, tell us, okay, so Tasha, you help us. What was going on with you? Reason why? Yeah.
Well, my thing was, I always wanted stability in a job, because I never, I knew something, I need just the stability of sitting behind a desk and doing something that I love to do. Now I am doing what I like to do. I like communicating with people. I like, I like people, period. So besides that, though, he may be talking about something outside of, like, doing hair or, you know, trying to do start her own business. Now, that's a situation that's different for me, because I love what I do, but I know I have different callings in my life of cosmetology.
Yes,
you know, event planning, all this stuff. But it's just not time right now for me to do it because right now I need to be focused on my job. So that's what's going on. I think that he's supporting her and just continue to support her because what's going on is, and I speak for myself, I've battled with, Lord, what do you want me to be? Where am I supposed to be? Okay, let me try this to see if it's going to make me happy. Let me try this to see if it's going to make me happy. That's when she quits because that's not what she needs.
And I'll tell you this. The Reverend J.W. Russell Sr. told me years ago when Tasha and I was having some problems, he looked at me, he said, no matter what, it's your job to continue to love her.
Right.
So tell him to love and that's an assignment. Yes, that's an assignment. That's what people don't realize. You can't just get married and just every other day you might like me, you might not like me. We can't do all that. Like Mel said, we got the love, and that Tasha said. And then another thing I want to say to women, because it's something that Tasha brought up, same thing happened to me. I'm no different. A lot of times when God has placed a lot of gifts inside of us and we're creative, even Taraji P. Henson talks about this, we tend to fear the biggest thing that he gave us, and we start doing all the little things or creating little things. And so we need husbands. Thank you, Melvin, for supporting and not trying to leave. We need husbands that say to us, okay, Princess, you was in cosmetology last week, baby, but you can quit this week. I love you. Yeah, I love you, and you just let me know what you're going to be doing next so I can try to support that. Because a lot of times some of us get married too fast, and we marry people who don't support us, and then they start hindering us, and they start stopping us from that. Because now I know for sure. Go ahead, Tasha. Go ahead.
No, I think sometimes we as women just need to be still. We do too much. We keep doing, want to do so many things, and God can't speak to us because we're always doing something. So we sometimes need to sit down every once in a while and just let God speak to us and say, okay, this is where you need to go and start following where. Sometimes, let me tell you something. God put me in a warehouse job. Lord knows that was never my place. But when I say I went there every day, I got off at 11 o'clock at night, never to be, that's just something I said I'd never do. And I said, I'm going to follow you telling me to do because you're going to take me to where I need to go. And I had to be still. I honestly, it was late at night. The job was in the evening. Sometimes we have, as women, we have got to be still, go where God wants us to be. And it might not be the best place, but he's trying to get us where we are. And I tell you, after 5 months of me being at that job, I got that dream job that I have now. And I'm making the same amount of money, more than I was making when I was at that other job, because I did what out of my mind. I got out of my own self. Come out of your
And then I really and truly thank y'all, because I'm telling y'all, some of these questions y'all answering, y'all don't realize they are questions that people send me for the Ask Princess segment, and I'm being real lazy with the Ask Princess segment stuff because some of y'all get on my nerves. Because you don't listen, you be asking questions you don't want to do what the people saying. Like Melvin and Tasha giving some good advice today, and I promise you some of y'all going to get off this phone and get off this online thing, and then the ones that are listening on satellite, I appreciate y'all too, but y'all still going to do the same thing. You got to do what Melvin said in the beginning of the show. You got to look at yourself. You got to start looking at you, stop pointing fingers at, and that's with everything. Like, I need to start looking at these church folk getting on my nerves and focus on Princess and what Princess is doing, because, you know what I'm saying, this applies to everything. He opened up the show with that, so take me out. That's probably a sermon for not only the marriage, but for all kinds of relationships. You know what I'm saying? Just being honest. So, listen, I done went over y'all time. I ain't even asked y'all how much time y'all had to spend with me. I'm laughing because the guy that is normally my director, producer of the show, he's laughing. He said, you never can do 30 minutes. And I'm glad. Whatever. But we laugh about that. We went to an hour, and then when we got to an hour, girl, we was talking for days, seemed like. We thought we would bore people, but people hang in there. Like, all of my callers are still on the line, and all of the people that are on the other side, they're still listening. So, I really appreciate it. I got two more questions. We're going to answer them right quick. Like I said, I don't want to hold y'all hostage. I do want them to be able to contact. I'm going to give y'all, or let the Thomases give y'all, how to talk to them and contact them. Now, listen, don't be calling them and asking them questions if you ain't buy their book. Read the book first, and if Melvin left something out, then you ask him a question. But buy the book first. Y'all know how we do on here. We support one another. We're not just talkers or just in here soaking up all this information and don't go and support. So first, before we, just in case some of y'all try to hang up on us before I get this information, one of y'all tell us how we can get the book. Tell us how we can contact you if we need, because sometimes people want, you know, do sessions, seminars, or they may do the same thing, invite you to their show. I want to make sure they got all the contact information. So one of y'all get that to us before people go away.
The print copy of the book is only at Amazon.com. It's $5.99. You can get the e-reader copy from the Kindle for $2.99 and on Nook for $2.99.
Okay.
You can email us at jamet_inc@yahoo.com. And you can call me personally. I give you my personal cell phone if you want to talk to me. 678-523-2893.
Okay, so y'all got it. And again, if you're single, go buy the book. If you've been married 25 years, go buy the book. If you've been married 45 years, go buy the book. Because even 45-year veterans of marriage are still asking questions. Some of you shouldn't be asking questions, but some of you done outgrew. So I got the two questions before I, release y'all. She said, my husband is 70. I am 34. He is boring to me already. Good. See, that's what I'm talking about this here. They know me. Everybody know Princess. But they still ask me these crazy questions. They know me. But I'm going to let Melvin tackle this one because this stuff is crazy to me. Okay, so she is 34. Her husband is 70. They live in a house way off, away from everybody. He watches everything I'm doing. He wants me to tell him everywhere that I'm going. He calls me every few minutes. He tells me I have to let him know where I'm going, when I got there, when I'm headed back home, when I arrive at work, etc. I truly love him, but I'm thinking about divorce because I cannot deal with this controlling and forceful spirit. He is constantly asking me who I'm talking to, why am I dressed like that, what am I doing? I don't dress any kind of way. I'm a holiness person that was raised in holiness, and I do not have those tendencies to be talking or flirting with any other men. It's just that my husband thinks that because he is 70, I should act like a 70-year-old. Help.
Well, first of all, he is old enough to be your father, so he's acting like your father. But
granddaddy.
If you look at what he's doing, the only way that you would consider that controlling is if you don't want that from him. Because I'm pretty sure if you were in love with a man, you would want him to know. You want him to want you to be around. You want him to know where you are, unless you're out unless you're out doing something that you shouldn't be doing. So, it's the way you look at that person affects the way you hear what they're saying. It's controlling when you don't want it from them, but it's love when you do want it from them. Now, the first thing you said was that he's boring. He's 70 years old and he's boring. So that lets me know right there that you don't really care for him. I don't know why you married him. And unless you married him for some money, I don't know. But
well, then what they do, they team up. Yeah, they team something. Something be going on.
If you married him for love, he is going to be concerned about, okay, where are you? If you're not at home, I want to know where you are just in case something happens to you. No, but so I can make sure you're not doing something you're not supposed to be doing. But
yeah,
the only way it's going to bother you is if you are doing something you're not supposed to be doing.
Right.
I heard a comedian say a long time ago, the truth only hurts when you're trying to live a lie. So
right.
When you
yes, I love it.